This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Rasol?
Hey, my bro. Good
night. I forgot the email.
I've got it here with me.
The email.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad you do, actually.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Komanya, man.
Yeah.
About the terminology. And what's his name, by the way?
Magic Nkwashu.
Yeah, Tatana Nkwashu. If you are listening, I apologize. Yes, you are right. I'm very inconsistent with the terminology. People with disability, people living with disability, disabled people. Now I will make sure that I remember that correct terminology. You say it's
people with disability.
People with disability.
Yeah.
So Tatana Nkwashu, thank you. Askis, and he says you are mafikizolo, by the way.
Yeah. No, I'm going to say the problem is that we don't workshop people we are hosting.
Mm.
They are not as trained as Ntate Nkwashu.
Yeah.
But I decided that the feedback he has given us is very valuable.
Yeah.
And from next week, we will have a Did You Know slot where we say, here's a new terminology. We introduce it also to our listeners.
Yeah, because I'm learning as well, remember. I'm learning as well. So I take your email in good spirit. I didn't want to respond. I don't write well to make the point, but I thought I would take the advantage of this show to respond. Otherwise, have you had a good week, Brasol?
No, it was wonderful. Even though these few days, I always approach this week with trepidation because it was on the 21st of November, 2016, I collapsed and I woke up fully paralyzed.
The
21st of November. Oh, so today it's exactly 3 years.
Wow.
So whenever we are nearing this date or a few days after, I become very uneasy. I feel that something major may happen.
Oh,
to
I see. So you still have that lingering fear.
Yeah, it's still there, right at the back of my mind.
How do you deal with it? Do you stay home? Do you not go out? How do you deal with it?
I keep myself as busy as possible. I had meetings throughout the day, driving between the CBD and Sandton. So I was just so busy.
To keep your mind off.
Yeah. And later in the afternoon, I wrote down something on Facebook, sharing my feelings with my cyber friends. Writing for me is very therapeutic.
Yeah, plus it's your thing. Writing.
Yeah. And in fact, the good news I got today is that former President Kgalema Motlanthe has given me a foreword to my book, which should be published in the next 4 weeks.
Beautiful.
And to celebrate this day, I shared the cover of my book with my cyber friends on social media.
Wow, that's beautiful. Yeah. That's beautiful. So we've got a guest there today that you brought to us.
Yeah, today we are talking beauty. We are celebrating beauty. We are hosting Refilwe Modisile. She's the first professional model with albinism.
Yeah.
And people know her on various television shows. And we thought today we should host her and our listeners should engage her and get to know more about her.
Dumelang.
Dumela, Papa Legai.
Riteng Legai.
Riteng, Ishe.
Hello, Refilwe.
Hello, with you, Sol.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks, and you?
I'm okay.
And good evening to your listeners as well.
Yeah, good evening, man. Thank you very much. So, how has it been? Is life okay? Did I see you on TV with your sisters the other day? See, I watched.
You probably did see me on TV with my sisters the other day.
I watch. There was a lot of energy there, which kept me watching because I was like, "Hey, this energy is attractive. Let me listen and watch." It's beautiful. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, how are things going? How are you spreading positivity?
And who are you?
And who are you?
Whom am I? Refile Mulisele is a dynamic soul. She is a woman living with albinism, who is Africa's first successful model with albinism, TV, radio host, actress, singer, voiceover artist, albinism activist, MC, speaker, a woman of many facets. And a lot of people know me either from seeing me in your magazines, going to translate onto your TV screens. So I've done shows like XA Let's Talk, and as well as Hush, which were on ETV. And I've gone on to do other stuff as well, act in an international series, and my latest being in an international short film where I play the leading lady, which is coming out in December 2020.
Can I ask you a question? And I think, you know, I might have a little bit of a leeway to ask it.
Sure.
Because my younger sister is a person living with albinism.
Sure.
And I don't see any disability there.
Thank you.
Sometimes when people with living with albinism says, "No, we disabled people," I'm like, "No."
Yeah.
Have my own younger sister. I see a normal person. Wow, Jola. Wow, Tamaya. Whatever. You know. Is that insensitive?
I don't think it's an insensitive notion, because even with myself, the way you would link a thing, the way I was brought up, I never had this mindset of saying I live with a disability. The only thing that differs ourselves to other people is, apart from the lack of pigmentation, we suffer from eye problems and astigmatism, which are natural things that happen from birth, where your eyesight isn't exactly great. But it differs from person to person with albinism, because people assume that it is the same across the board. I mean, my eyesight was quite strong when I was quite young. Yes, I wore glasses. But the difference is that our degrees differ from a lot of people in terms of how much we can see, but I've never taken that as a disability. Instead, for me, I've always said to people that if you actually realize, if you think about it very closely, everybody has an inability to not be able to do something.
Absolutely.
So we cannot say that there is something called a disability. Our degrees differ, but we all have an inability. The same way is something simple can lack in a person. So you know what, doesn't wear glasses, but they can tell you that, no, I can't see from a certain distance. That in itself is a certain degree of inability. Or you find that the ear, your ears are clear, yes, but you know, when there's this thing, I can't hear certain things. You know what I mean? So I always feel like people have a certain little thing that they have to deal with. It's just that our degrees differ.
I like your Twitter handle name, by the way, Vanilla Black.
I know, it's such a sexy name.
Also her Facebook page.
Yeah,
it's Refile Vanilla Black.
I like that. Did you give it? Did you coin it yourself, or did somebody call you Vanilla Black at some point?
Never. You know what? I think God has a way of creating divine intervention when He does things. And funny enough, in 2000 and when I started, this name just came up in my head. I didn't understand what it is that I was planting, only to find that for me, vanilla was like, oh, you know, white and black, oh, because I'm black.
Yeah.
So vanilla is, you know, white and obviously the blackness. And I put the two together and spelled it with a Q instead of a CK because I'm a creative at heart. But I didn't realize that the one day my uncle was going to say to me, so you're calling yourself Vanilla Black. He says, do you know that the vanilla seed in its original formation is a black seed?
Wow. I didn't know that.
I was like, what? I didn't know. And so it was just like one of those things where God predestined certain things. He puts a symbolism in who you are. And I've carried that as to say that you have this illusion of a person with albinism looking white. Though, yes, we do differ in race. Like, there are people with albinism who are white, who are not so evident that they have albinism. but a black person is very evident. You have Chinese people with albinism. You have Indian people with albinism. I mean, it's prevalent everywhere. But in my instance, it was just that case of the vanilla seed is black. You assume that vanilla is white. We all grow up thinking vanilla is white until you find out its original origination.
In fact, one of our leading diplomats, he's now heading our mission in the Philippines, Boiki Mutlong. On Facebook, he goes by the name of Maloka Maloka. Some time ago, he complained that I think by then he was one of our diplomats in Romania.
Sure.
And he said when his host went to fetch him from the airport, they were looking for an African man. And then whilst he was there looking for the people who came to fetch him, and then when they realized it was him, then they said no, but they said we should look for a black man. Then he said to them, yes, I'm a black man. And then he had to explain. But he also oozes positive energy like you. To an extent that I've worked with him in Pretoria for over 2 years, and I never saw him as a person different from me, complexion-wise. I just saw him as an ordinary guy. And very colorful, fun to live with. But at the same time, we also know the misperceptions amongst our people, especially in the townships and in the rural villages. How did you overcome those problems growing up? Because I know for now, your fame, the fact that you are celebrated, that opens doors for you. But when you are still growing up in the township.
Look, even with the fame, it doesn't mean that the doors are entirely open. And this is what I want people to understand. A lot of people assume that my albinism is what propelled me. My albinism made me. My albinism did not make me. My character and what I carry as a person and the spirit that I carry and my characteristics and my ability to show my capability to do whatever is what made me in life. Because I have this saying that says that if my albinism was the reason why I made it, then every other person with albinism would be just as successful if that was the blueprint, you know. But the challenges I overcame, because I was born in Soweto. I'm a Rockville girl. We moved out when I was about 4 years old. But being integrated in a society where it is predominantly black people, you're in a black community, there's no mix of race at that point. It was rather difficult, I think, coming from a mother's perspective. As a child, I didn't really feel it. I didn't really understand because I was never made aware or higher water, this is what you are. I was just treated normally so that I do not shy away from myself and feel like I need to be treated any differently. So how it is that I overcame those misconceptions was not was my foundation being a very strong one and not making me aware of what it is that was, inverted commas, different from other people. So already the spirit that I inherited was one of a girl who's just like, okay, I see myself, there's no problem. What's everybody fussing over about? That was my mentality instead. And the most difficult part was, I guess, stepping out of the home where your protection is no longer there and you're faced with people that call you names, that say all sorts of things. But because of what is instilled inside from the parents, you then have a child who is strong enough to carry herself with the confidence that says that, I know who I am. I know where I come from. Yes, you will say whatever you want to say, but it doesn't matter because there's love at home.
Is that how you approach probably young boys and girls who look like you when they come to you with very low self-esteem, brokenheartedness around all of these issues? Is that the approach that you use?
The approach that I use is to make them understand that to having to deal with whatever factor that you need to deal with is something that we all go through in life. It's just that our degrees differ as to what it is that we have to deal with. Know and understand that whatever it is that you are carrying, yes, society will always pick at you, but ultimately, at the end of the day, you have to be happy. God does not make a mistake in making you the way that you are or put you through certain things in your life. You are created in his image according to what it is that he wants for your life, and you have to respect that in order to you for you to carry whatever it is that you need to carry out for your life. Because if you have to listen to people and what they say, you'll never live your life.
Yeah.
You can't make everybody happy. And that's just like one thing that I always say to children is that your purpose in life is not to make everybody happy. That is not your role to play. Yours is to fulfill whatever it is that you need to in your life and do so exceptionally.
Let me ask before you come in, Nebrasol. I don't know if I'm wrong. It's just my observation.
Sure.
I think as a country, the attitudes against people living with albinism are changing. To what extent, I'm not sure. But, in the past, there was a real fear.
Okay? Sure.
Even in my family, when my sister was born, there was a lot of panic, to say, how do we hide this baby? Do we,
sure.
Do you pick it up? Is the skin not going to be painful? But it's, you see people like yourselves on television, in magazines, it's at a small scale, but those myths around people who look like you, I think they are slowly but surely changing. There's a boy I love from Limpopo who's a poet as well. Oozes confidence, no end type of a thing. Is that accurate, or do you still think that we still have a long way to go?
Look, I mean, from the time when I started as a model, first of all, it was in an era where there was no social media. There was none of the dynamics that I hear today that aid the openness of mind was there back then, which made it very difficult to put in the education. Now, what's happened is that progressively, as some of us have now become activists, as some of us are now in the forefront of actually speaking out and having a voice, we're changing the narrative. It's somewhere in the middle at the moment. It's not entirely there, because if you look at research is still not there, meaning that we still don't have the necessary education in the schools to make children understand what it is or help them become comfortable in certain situations when it comes to addressing certain differences amongst each other. So the education is not entirely there, but what's happened is that with people like myself, who are the veterans of opening doors, we've assisted in getting a form of, I don't even want to say acceptance, because it shouldn't be like that, but more so a warming up to the people that we are. And I mean, the boundaries are slowly breaking, because you see more of a prevalence of people with albinism in the media spaces, was because people like myself, I fought very hard to say that I deserve a place here, not because of my albinism, but I deserve a place because I have the capability to fulfill something just like anybody else can. So we're at a place where it's in the middle. People are warming up to it, because even with ourselves, you're not going to see a person with albinism who wants to be bland. You're going to see a person who exudes their personality, who wants to just be treated normally. And I think it's because we've also taken a responsibility to teach people how to treat us. Even though those myths, yes, are still there, it's very unfortunate. Albinism killings are still there. South Africa is a lot more liberated as opposed to other African countries, where it's still very rife in terms of the myths and misconceptions. But I think there's progression. There is a sense of progression, because you have so many other people who are going into so many spheres, and rather they're now learning to respect us as people who are capable of doing things.
What a quick message you can give to others out there, those who are looking up to you as a role model.
My message would be to not allow, society has a way of pointing out your limitations. They tell you you cannot. The only person that can tell you that you cannot is yourself. For as long as you're a person, you breathe, reach into whatever purpose that you have in life, Do not allow yourself to be limited and always push the bounds, knowing that you're here for a reason. And that's my message to people, is that, you know, don't allow things to limit you, because in life, as soon as you look at those faults and allow them to be the cage in your life, that's where you don't live. So live and let live, and do the best that you can where you can. And yeah, you know, work with what you can, and if you can, just push the bounds.
Rufila, thank you very much, ma'am, for spending so much time with us. We really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, bye-bye. That's Rufila Mudisela. That, you know, an interesting discussion.
Authentic and honest conversations with Thabiso Kotane on Power 98.7.
Rasol, you know, there was a chap on SABC who used to read news. Sipedi.
Okay.
He used to say, Magagesho ditabaga di fele.
It's true.
Uno fela nako.
It's true.
Yeah, that's where we are.
Anyway, the good news is that there's still next week.
Yeah.
So I will.
Ooh, yeah. Next week might not happen. We've got the chairman's conversation, by the
oh,
way.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
May I put Wednesday. You on the spot?
Wednesday.
Wednesday Maybe is perfect. Wednesday.
I'll
yeah.
speak to the beautiful ladies.
Okay.
Who are my bosses there? Maybe we'll do it on Wednesday.
Actually. Yeah, I was saying I'll put you on the spot to say, may I please crack an invite to the chairman's conversation? And the listeners are listening.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
I'm here tomorrow.
Okay,
so
that's
wonderful. So I will lobby
on your behalf.
I think it's only fair. I'll also kindly ask the chairman if issues that we talk about are not raised in terms of
definitely
what government is planning to do with the commitment it has made for people with disabilities.
No, that's
is that
wonderful.
A fair
yeah that's
I will try my best. I will lobby. I know there are so many things to talk about, but I will lobby the chairman and anyone else to see if they can't it shouldn't be a problem, this cracking the invite thing. I'm here tomorrow. I'll make a plan. I promise.
Thank you so much, bro.
Thank you, brother. So when is the book coming out?
In 4 weeks.
In 4 weeks. What's the title of the book?
It's titled Sound and Fury, The Chronicles of Healing.
Oh, I'm happy that it's Sound and Fury. It's not signifying nothing.
But it's motivated by that to say anytime you can collapse and die.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're correct. Anytime.
Mm. It happened to me. I nearly died.
Yeah. And we've seen people who died. Who
it's
just
true.
Collapsed and died.
And I've buried so many people who are just very healthy.
Okay, my bro. It's 10 o'clock. Nomusa is ready with the news.
Okay, thanks, bro.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.